is in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus study tonight. My theme song played twice, did it or no? What's going on? Can you hear me all? I think it's going okay. My name is Thomas Gamble. I think what happened was the timing was the song played twice because I cut in on the beginning of another program that was my 24-hour loop. I think that's what happened. So it played, and then I cut in on it for the second time. So what you heard was the loop, and then I cut in on the loop. Loop-de-loop-de-loop. Welcome to a Bible study tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble, and tonight we're going to talk about a mixture of creation, aliens in the Bible, just a combination of these subjects tonight, science and the Bible. I have a study that I'm going to throw at you later down the road, right, very soon, on cultures, in a study in the Bible, where the cultures came from, racism, in the Bible. Oh, that's going to raise my brows, I'm very sure of that. Tonight's liable to a little bit also, but tonight I'm going to try to simplify a very complicated subject. And I'm going to throw some new things at you tonight. Those that have heard me before, I'm going to throw some new concepts at you that, and listen to it carefully. It's going to raise some eyebrows, I suspect, if I get to it. You'll know when. The Bible is accurate. Right down to a T. It's the only book that is. It's the only thing that's not changed in 400 years. The only revisions, had someone write Queen's English, you know, and studied the Bible for 30 years. You heard the story. Oh, the Bible has been revised 300 times. It absolutely has not. There's nothing even documented that says that. These people throw things at you, taking a gamble, no pun intended, taking a gamble that the person they're talking to has not done their research. So by using the correct King's, Queen's English and spouting off their background and all this, that you're going to believe them. Then when you come back with them because you have facts, then they kind of change stride. This is the game going on today, and it's increasing exponentially to try to lead you away from the truth. Isn't it so surreal that we got to deal with this? I mean, really. It's such drama, but it's actually real. We're pawns in a big game, but this game is supernatural. You're in the middle of it. Man's in the middle of it. It's based on your decision. Man's not that powerful at all. What power man has, he obtained from the supernatural. It's not coming from man. Doesn't matter who you follow. Satan makes it seem like you're the one, but he gives the ego boost. God lets you know, you need me. He's telling you. It's not an ego thing on God's part. He's telling you, you're nothing without me, because it's the truth. Satan tries to come through our media, positive thinking, all this stuff, that we can be all we can better be. Well, I tried to fly, you know, and I can't even hardly step down a step. How do I fly? I believe I can fly. Yeah, well, go on ahead and see what happens. The reality is, no. Oh, yeah, you can work out and get stronger and things, but God's there, Satan's there. Who are you following? And you'd be surprised how the supernatural is in competition for your allegiance. Operates within your body. Or demonizes from the outside. Or blesses you from the outside inside. This is what's really going on today. People don't realize. But God, through the Holy Spirit, tells you what's really going on. He tells us what we can do, what we can't do. Satan lies. God is the great revealer. Satan is a great deceiver. And this is where you are. This is what you're dealing with, and there's no way around it. There's no getting off this ship on a dinghy, and you're going to that desert island that you just want to get off the ship on your own. It doesn't work that way here. This is where you are. This is what's going on. And mankind is not going to change it. One way you can change it is by making a decision about who you're going to follow. There ain't no third choice. There's more to you than what people know. You're more stronger than you think. Well, how come none of them's achieved it by now? That's my question. How come nobody in the history of man has achieved it? Or they're waiting for that special day of the nexus, of the next evolutionary chain of man, to now advance to the next level of the sixth petal or, I don't know, whatever. The Christ consciousness. The God within you. So even the TBN, they get on that bandwagon. They're all little gods. See, it's all connected together. Man, it's not going to happen. They keep saying it all this time to do their meditation, get in a lotus position. Some of us couldn't get out of it if we tried. I wouldn't get into it anyway if I had to. Of course, in the way I could anyway. They'd call me a superhero, pretzel man. Only problem is I couldn't get out of the pretzel. So, I don't know where that came from. But in any case, this Bible we have, the King James Bible, was written by Bedouins, was written by sheepherders, by tax collectors, men that lived in the desert, and they didn't have internet. And yet, when studying the science of the ancient world, you're more apt to be impressed with its ignorance than to admire its accuracy. The Bible offers a definite exception to this rule. The scriptures are replete with statements. Talk about scientific knowledge. Where did they get this from? Predates corresponding discoveries of our secular science. And you know, given the Bible writers were not scientists, given that the scientific information you get at their disposal at that time was generally misleading, the accuracy of the Bible can be attributed only to inspiration from a supernatural being we call God, Jehovah. Bible includes, it talks about the universe. How do they know about that? Time and space talks about the beginning. It talks about an initial void that was there, an expanding universe. Space is empty. The hole in the north. Air has weight. Singing stars. There's quite a few of these things. The earth is atoms. The earth is a sphere. How do they know that? Rotation of the earth. Of course, they're finding out that it don't rotate at all, that everything goes around the earth. The orbit of the sun. That NASA didn't tell you about. That the sun orbits around the earth. Gravitational properties of constellations. Affects life on earth. That's what they're there for. The first and second laws of thermodynamics, the talking lightning, the treasures of the snow, the hydrologic cycle, measuring the waters, air currents, paths of the sea. How do they know about the paths of the sea? How do they know about the mountains under the sea, the springs under the sea? How is that possible? Precise dimensions of Noah's Ark, mathematics, man from dust, Adam and Eve, seed of life. All humanity is one blood. Life is in the blood. Man, it just goes and goes. How do they know that? And a lot of what we get in science, NASA has lied to us about. Because they're trying to conceal the validity of the Bible. But God's going to reveal the validity of the Bible. God created man in his own image. It's all spiritual. Lower than the angels had flesh. Created Adam, created Eve, helpmate. Helpmeet, they call it. He calls it. But wait a minute. How did he do that? Just creator? No, he took DNA. He took a rib from Adam. Now, that don't make any sense. Why wouldn't he say he created Adam? He created Eve. There you go. Poof, there you go. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible says he created man, flesh and bone. Then, out of a rib of Adam, he created Eve. Now, how did he do that? I don't know how he did it, but that's what it says. Why would that even be put in there? Because it has the same DNA. Literally, the first marriage by DNA. And life is in the blood. Ecclesiastes 9 talks about the golden bowl. The golden bowl, the silver cord, that's your brain. The golden bowl is your skull. The cistern and the wheel, that's your circulatory system. That's what that's talking about in Ecclesiastes. Look it up right now. That's amazing. How'd they know that? The cistern and the wheel, the circulatory system, the golden bowl, the golden thread. That's your soul connected to a thread connected to your body supernaturally. It's amazing how that works. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we'll get to talking about this tonight. And some other things. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study once again. We ask you, Lord, to guide us tonight through study, sharing the gospel. Lord, to help our families as they get near to thee. And Father, use us as examples to keep us straight. Father, to give us opportunities to spread the gospel to our family members. Father, we pray for healing. We pray for bringing family members together. Soften the hearts, touch the souls. Father, we pray for our veterans. Father, to take their minds off this suicide. Lord, to set up divine appointments to help them along. Father, we pray for children now that are being abducted, that Father, you'll find a way to let them escape. To Father, strip down protection of the Wicca and expose the Wicca for what they are. And then those exposed, Father, you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts that this will serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus Christ. For those, Father, that you know the hearts. To take away their sacrifices of other humans that they do. Expose this underground that's going on that, Father, we can pray against it. Father, give courage to find those willing to step up to be whistleblowers, to expose this evil that's going on in the world today of the different countries. Father, we pray that for the preachers out there, the rabbis, the priests, that Father, they'll cut through this deception. But Father, when the great falling away happens, that Father, you'll find those you're going to raise up and give them the charge to start preaching the truth. We pray, Father, through this Bible study tonight that you'll guide us in all Bible studies in the future to keep us focused on what we study, that it applies to what's going on today. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heavens. And give us today our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know what, number 12, Matthew. You know, every time I read this, I get something different out of it. I've been reading this thing for how long? 5 years? Every time I read it, something pops up. Every time it seems. Well, something just popped up. You know, I'll say chapter 6, Matthew 6, 12. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. People sometimes, unfortunately, interpret that as being forgive debts, money, 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 money. But what it really should say, and what it does say, but the definition, debts, in that period of time, you have to look at it from their period of time, not our day today. No. Don't look, none of the Bible is to be looked at as us today. We don't update the Bible. We go back to the definition of the words back then. And I don't have to know Hebrew. I do not have to know Greek. That's utterly asinine. It's ridiculous. But that's exactly what they're telling us. That's what they're saying. Well, you really got to be able to read the Greek. You got to be able to read the Hebrew. You got to take a course. Baloney. It's already translated perfectly by 47 translators, fluent in all the languages, guided by God himself, supernaturally. But what should it read, if you're looking at it from our point of view today, And it says exactly what it should say right here, just like God had it. But if we're going to understand it in another way, forgive us of our sin as we forgive those that sinned against us. Because if you read further, it tells you in Matthew 6:14, it defines it a little bit more. For if you give men their trespasses, their sins against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their sins against you, trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your sins or trespasses. That's what it means, both cases. Well, that there being said, y'all, creation, they're going to try to tell you that we were created by aliens. That's what they're coming with. It's heading down the road, right towards you, like a cannonball 99. Cannonball 99, heading down the road, coming at you on the track. That's what they're going to try to tell you. That the fallen angels, they're going to call them the aliens or ascended masters or the community, the hierarchy, whatever. Depends what flavor you want. That they created us. That's the lie they're going to tell you. And we're not far from it. We're not far from them exposing this or saying this on a public forum. I don't know when they're going to pull that card, but boy, I tell you, it's right around the corner. Because they're setting it up in these colleges. And I've proven two times now, the last two broadcasts, that literally our major colleges cannot be trusted. It's a fact. Because they have an agenda. Every one. Or humanist, Marxist, and socialist. Sounds kind of blanketed, don't it? But the quotes confirm it. 100%. Since when? Since 1908. We've been fooled all along. The core belief has been subconsciously put in our face in all the education. What's education's been about all along? Now, for some people, that may be hard to take. Because they spent their life in education, getting their master's, and it's been a big damn walk down and get that little piece of paper and hooray and do a flip and all this stuff, all that hard work you've done and all this, that, and the other, to find out, man, you've been lied to. That's hard to take. But the evidence is clear. I mean, slam dunk evidence. All along it's been set up. Satan has controlled all the education entirely. They've hidden the giants of the Bible. I kind of see where this is heading tonight. Where'd the giants come from? Because you're going to see them again. This is not history. What I'm telling you tonight is future. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. This is future. Minds of many people occupied the thoughts of those who are giants and the sons of God that's mentioned in the Bible. I've been going through this for the past 2-3 days on a particular forum that's massively taking up some time that I shouldn't be taking, but I've gotten into it, and some highly educated, seems like, they got the Queen's English, but they completely bypass your things you tell them and the evidence you present. Who the sons of God were. So right now they've got groups out there trying to convince people the sons of God, for example, are the sons of Seth. And when you show them that, well, that's just not possible, and you show them scripture, even though they claim to be Christian, they completely bypass it. Don't even pay attention to it. I will admit that sometimes gets a little bit frustrating at times, but they try to poke your buttons. When you go to Genesis 6:1-4, it talks about the sons of God, the daughters of men. There's all kinds of suggestions as to who the sons of God are. While they, the children that they had and daughters of men grew into a race of giants. That's where the word Nephilim seems to indicate, or Raphim. Giants, Nephilim, which is listed Nephilim in the NIV, but the only true word of God, the King James, calls them straight out giants. Don't mess around with Nephilim. Call them Nephilim kind of leaves it up in the air. But when you say giants, that's pretty clear. Now, there's three views of this identity, the sons of God, that they were fallen angels, that they were powerful human rulers, or they were godly descendants of Seth that intermarried with wicked descendants of Cain. Let me say that again, that they were godly descendants of Seth intermarrying with wicked descendants of Cain. Now, how much sense does that make? Well, that's what they believe. So, going to the first theory, the fact that the Old Testament, the phrase the sons of God, refer to angels. You got Job 1 verse 6, Job 2 verse 1, and Job 38 verse 7. You get Esword program, and you plug in sons of God, and it'll give you all the scripture that says sons of God in the Old and New Testament. But sons of God of the Old Testament is diametrically opposite of the sons of God of the New Testament. Apples and oranges. You'll never find in the Old Testament any mention of the saints of the Old Testament, not one, called a son of God. They're called the sons of man. Jesus Christ also differentiated between the two. I am the only begotten son of God. His father was God, not Joseph. But he's also the son of man. So he's also got a separation. He's told you there. Son of man, son of God. But he's begotten son of God. Begotten means he came in the usual way. Jesus had a belly button. Because he had an umbilical cord. You understand? He came in like we did. Baby on a rope. Here I am. Let's go. Give me some food. Go clean my diaper and fix my skin knee. And we're going to start this again tomorrow. Can you imagine the Savior of the world having a skin knee? Anyway. In Job 1:6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. So the sons of Seth, how did they pull that off? And Satan was among the sons of Seth? What? How did that happen? When they were scattered over a period of 1,550 years between Adam and Eve and the Noah. And Noah, between Adam and Eve and creation and Noah, the flood, was 1,550 years exactly. Job 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. They have a dimension in which they can still approach the throne of God to request permission to do whatever they want to do, and God will say yes, or God will say no, you're not going to do it. And then in Job 38:7, I've covered this, I think it was last week, where God is dressing down Job about how little he really knows about how the creation of the earth began, the creation of the universe. Declare if thou knowest. And he goes through from Job 38, 1 to 7. And he gets down to the last one, 7, when he created the cornerstone of the earth. He said, and when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, the ones that are trying to tell you the sons of God are the sons of Seth, they just bypass that entirely. Because my question is, and I won't let go of it, is explain to me then, how is it the sons of Seth existed before the creation of the earth when even Adam and Eve didn't? Preacher, how's that work? That's when you kind of lose them, but that's okay. Because they don't realize it and say, oh, you got a point there. Or they try to fight and you know they're frauds. I believe in calling them out. Not right what they're doing. Deceiving people. It's not right. Now, one of the problems they'll shove at you is Matthew 22, verse 30. And when you go to Matthew 22, 30, this is a curveball they'll pop at you. Matthew 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are they given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, in that particular scripture, they throw at you that the sons of God had to be Seth, bloodline of Seth, because angels don't marry. So then they try to hit you with the definition of what marriage is. Well, when you read Genesis 6:1-6:4, they took wives of all the... Well, taken means abducting, kidnapping, rape. They didn't say anywhere there. They had a ceremony. That's what it was, actually. It was kidnapping. It was rape. It was an abomination. Matthew 22:30. Is the Lord Jesus bringing forth an argument from Scripture to show that the resurrection is an absolute necessity? When you go to Exodus 3, verse 6, for example, God spoke of himself as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet Jesus points out that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God made covenants with all these men, but they died before the covenants were completely fulfilled. So how can God speak of himself as a God of three men whose bodies are in the grave? How can he, who cannot fail to keep his promises, fulfill those made to men who've already died? There's only one answer: resurrection. No wonder the multitudes were astonished at his teaching. So that doesn't have anything to do with the sons of Seth, the sons of God. But the angels in heaven are supernatural. The sons of God, the fallen angels down here, have physical bodies. This indicates that angels do not marry in heaven, in the spiritual. The Bible gives us no reason to believe that angels have a greater or a gender or are able to reproduce. The other two views do not present this problem. Now, when you go to version 2, that they were powerful human rulers, men of renown. And 3, that they were godly descendants of Seth, intermarrying with wicked descendants of Cain. It's saying here that ordinary human males marrying ordinary human females, this does not account for why the offspring were giants or heroes of old or men of renown. That has nothing to do with it. And then why would God decide to bring the flood on the earth? In Genesis 6, 5 to 7. Because he saw the wickedness of men was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth and grieved him into his heart. So the Lord said, I will, and he goes into it. So, when God had never forbid human males or descendants of Seth to marry ordinary human females, descendants of Cain, the judgment of Genesis 6, 5 to 7 is linked to the what took place in Genesis 6, 1 to 4. That's the key right there. That's a harsh judgment to wipe out an entire world of everything, of every animal, everything on the earth. That's where the Grand Canyon came from. It didn't come from some river. Some big old river carved that canyon. You got to be kidding me. Who's a fool enough to believe that? You ever seen the Grand Canyon? I've seen pictures. I've never really been there, but I've had people tell me. Then I saw pictures of it. I mean, just looking at pictures of it from satellite or from pictures of, you know, people take and tourist guides. A river carving that mile, you got to be kidding me. There's no way possible. But a big old flood would. That's one heck of a drainage. So what happened in Genesis 6, 1 to 4? What would cause God to, estimated, wipe out 20 million, give or take, a million here or there, human beings, and leave only 8? Whew. Only thing that could answer that kind of judgment would be an obscene, perverse marriage of fallen angels with human females would justify the harsh judgment, because that would destroy the earth. And that's what they did. See, the earth was one landmass up to that point. Somewhere in the gaps of history, of the flood, or after the flood, somewhere there's a gap there where God moved the tectonic plates. Once the languages were changed, he moved the tectonic plates. And you see how everything fits together, and then raised the water table after he changed the languages to make sure. And don't you know, where do they have other redwood trees in the world? They don't. Where they have salt flats in one place? They don't. Where they have Silicon Valley in any place, just all of it in one country, in one piece of land, California, Grand Canyon, copper, all the minerals you could name is in the United States, in the North American continent. What other country can claim that? Not a one. It's all separated and divided. Everything needed in witchcraft, everything needed in alchemy is in the United States, the North American continent. And North American continent, noticed very much so, is moved away from every other piece of land by itself, separated and divided from everything else. Starting to think a little bit, click, 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 what the value of the United States, the what would cause the Vikings visit 1,000 years before Columbus, set up the invasion of the North American continent by the European monarchy, the Egyptian descendants of Egyptian pharaohs in the United States, well, then North American continent. Why would they want to come here? Why so much gold? Why so much diamonds? They got everything in the United States. Makes it seem like we might be Atlantis or the laboratory of the fallen angels, doesn't it? Seems like we've been on Atlantis the whole time, in the Garden of Eden. What makes those trees so big and nowhere else in the world? Interesting points, I suppose. I'll leave that. So, the weakness of the first verse, the first view being they were fallen angels, is Matthew 22:30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. That's in heaven. However, that text doesn't say angels are not able to marry. Rather, it indicates that angels do not marry. Secondly, Matthew 22:30 is referring to the angels in heaven. It's not referring to fallen angels that had a free will and went against God. They don't care about God's created order. Matter of fact, they're the ones trying to destroy it. And they look it for ways to disrupt God's plan by using his own creation against him. And the fact that God's holy angels do not marry or engage in sexual relations, that doesn't mean the same is true of Satan and his demons. That for right now go to and fro from second heaven to first, first back to second, back and forth, but never back to the third, except when they come before the throne of God. I don't know how that works, but that's God's business. So, when you go back and look at the first view that they're fallen angels is the most likely proposition. It's also a contradiction to say that angels are sexless, and then to say that the sons of God were fallen angels who procreated with human females. However, while angels are spiritual beings, you'll find it in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve in sake of those who inherit salvation? They can appear in human, physical form. Entering the tomb, they saw in Mark 16:5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to have sex with the two angels. Big mistake. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Genesis 19:1-5. So we're back to Genesis 19:1-5. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He bowed himself and his face toward the ground. He said, "Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into the servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and wash your feet." How you do that when you're spiritual? "And ye shall rise up early, get on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house. He made them a feast. He did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Well, now if they're eating, if they're spiritual, they'd just end up on the chair, wouldn't it? But they ate. That means they're physical. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." I guess word gets around, even more so than Mount Airy. And they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men which came into thee that night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And family, they're not talking about introducing themselves here. We're talking about sex here. And Lot went out to the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for therefore came they into the shadow of my roof. That's something, isn't it? He wouldn't talk about introductions neither, and that's not a dating service. And they said, stand back. And they said again, the one fellow came into the sojourn. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They were going to break in. Big mistake. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, shut the door. And then they smote the men that they were at the door with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. In that movie, or TV program where they had recently showing the, was the Bible or something? And they showed the that series, I think it was last year. It's ridiculous. They had the ninja angels of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they could never get it right on TV or Hollywood. All they did was smote them blind. Is it plausible that angels are capable of taking on human form, even to the point of replicating human sexuality and even reproduction? So why do the fallen angels not do this more often? You know, it kind of seems that God imprisoned the fallen angels who committed this evil sin, and that the other fallen angels would not do the same, as described in when you go to Jude 6. Well, when you go to Jude 6, and you read that, a little hint. You had two waves of fallen angels. Two different waves of fallen angels. Before the flood, after the flood. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness until the judgment of the great day. So they're taken out. So who was that came after the flood? How are they able to operate today? By alchemy is how they do it. The second wave of fallen angels, ascended masters. You see how it works? So either Hebrew interpreters and apocryphal or pseudo-apocryphal writings are unanimous in holding to the view that fallen angels are the sons of God, mentioned in Genesis 6, 1-4. And this by no means closes a debate for mankind. And the view found in Genesis 6, 1-4 talks about fallen angels mating with human females is the strongest possibility yet. And using scripture. So, who are these giants of the Bible? The sons of God and the daughters of men. Genesis 6:2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. They weren't given in marriage. Man, they took them. The sons of God are fallen angels. They rebelled, sinned against God. And these fallen angels are the spirits of darkness and Satan and their leader. Satan, in a New Age name, is Sanat Kumara. Now, why am I talking about this now? Because, family, they're going to change your life. Life as you know it now is going to change because of these. They're laying the groundwork in the science community, political community, economics, finance, the arts, education, religion, politics, everything is going to change. And a lot of your theologians, scientists, others are trying to obfuscate this, to hide it. So you'll believe in aliens. Movies are out there. Every day, TV, novels, comic books. How about 1960s? Everybody should have a Martian, right? Don't y'all have a pet Martian? Well, in 1960s, they had a pet Martian. My favorite Martian. Bill Bixby, remember? All those things. Oh, I got one for you. You ever heard of Lucius Trust? Used to be Lucifer. Bailey changed the name to Lucius Trust. You know that in the 1950s and 60s, the TV sitcoms, programs, 100% were designed, created to control a nation. What were they trying to show in the time of, so get people to join Korea or join the Vietnam 1960s to fight for their country and all that's what they wanted. You had to have a family unit, right? The family destruction began setting up in 1945, wasn't put really into order until about 1960s and early 70s. Then the takedown of the families began. Until that point, look at the TV shows. My Three Sons. You had on that, you had the proverbial husband that was the breadwinner. The wife was, you know, your wife, you know, stayed at home, did the teaching, the nurturing, the cooking. I mean, it's proverbial. How about this one? Father Knows Best. Oh, that would not go over today. Father Knows Best. What kind of title is that for a TV sitcom? Father Knows Best. That fit back then. That sure wouldn't fit today. You see how they've changed us? By design. Now, Woman Knows Best might work. They got Thor. Now they got a Thornette. That's going to make you mad, isn't it? They got a female Thor. You see what they're doing? They're switching the roles. Right under your noses. Women are doing men's stuff. Okay, that's going into the broadcast thing, but this is how they've worked it out. Okay. Some of you are not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Lucy, I forgot what her name was, but anyway, Lucy was Eastern Star, and Desi Arnaz was a Freemason. Most all of the actors and actresses back then were either in witchcraft, oh yeah, some secret society before they even got a job as an actor or actress. Well, I love Lucifer. I love Lucifer. I love Lucifer. Helen Keller, I love you. With the hand sign was Lucifer. I love Lucifer. I love love you, Lucifer. That's what the hand sign, Helen Keller. The TV sitcom, I love Lucifer. I love Lucy. Oops, uh-oh, that's rough. Family, everything in our lives has been up to this. Placateness, sing along with Mitch, follow the bouncing ball. Elvis Presley, right? Nothing but a hound dog. Ow! And the Beatles, a cult. Ricardo, married to Ricky. That's what it's all about. I'm afraid. Yep. That's what it's always been about. The Giants, 6'4". Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days. Giants are in Hebrews Nephilim or Raphim. And also after that, when the sons of God came the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and in that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So in that text of Nephilim, which comes from the word Nephal, N-A-P-H-A-L, that means to fall. The giants were descendants of the fallen angels and the daughters of men before the flood. And the sons of God, the fallen angels, had the sexual relations with the daughters of men, bore children to them. And so when you read the text, also after they were giants in the earth, that means the fallen angels had the sexual relationship with the daughters of men after the flood. So from verse 4, you can see that men, or that also, excuse me, that, okay, when you look at verse 4, you can see that after the flood, the sons of God, fallen angels, had been in sexual intercourse with the daughters of men, bore children to them, and like this, there were giants in the earth after the flood. They came back. They taught Nimrod, the weak line of Ham, the art, the craft. Numbers 13, verse 33. And there we saw Nephilim, the sons of Enoch, who came of the Nephilim, and were in our sight. Our own sight is grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Numbers 13:33 proves that also after the flood, fallen angels had had sexual intercourse with the daughters of men. They bore children to them. And this Numbers 13, verse 33, it talks about the Israelites. And they saw the giants in the land of Canaan, the sons of Enoch, descended from the giants, the fallen angels. In Numbers 13:33, you go to the King James Bible. And there we saw the giants, sons of Enoch, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Now that's not, we're not talking just tall men here. We're talking big. The fallen angels impregnated satanic seed in the daughters of men. Just getting right down to it. And as a consequence of this abomination, the giants made filthy and satanic sins, cannibalism, all sorts of evil. For this reason, that's what God decided to destroy the satanic seed from the earth. And the flood drowned all people except for Noah's army, their family. But there's more. Only a handful of animals, two of each of that time, was saved. The flood destroyed the earth with water. All animals, plants, everything started all over again. Ow! See what I'm talking about here. Start all over again. Washed out the Garden of Eden. Washed out the Atlantis. That, in my opinion, was located in the United States in the North American continent when it was once together. Masons at the highest level know this. The Illuminati know this. The witches know this. The salt flats. Salt is salt of the earth. Salt flats. Salt is used in witchcraft. Alchemy. Big time. Silica chips. Silica crystals. Alchemy. Copper. Gold. Everything is the United States. God separated everything, divided it, washed it out, cleaned it up. Why would Sir Francis Bacon call this the New Atlantis, specifically the North American continent? Why would the hierarchy, the Illuminati, want to make the North American continent a diverse continent of bringing all the cultures together for one hybrid human being? They have accomplished that. Now, I'm assuming you're all regular listeners, and I've read you all that before about Brock Chisholm and how he talks about how the plans of Illuminati, for example, is to kill off all pure races except for the race that they'll combine all the races into one. They have accomplished that. Right now, you can find it. I can show you where to go. If you look up National Geographic on your search bar, and then you go to October 2013 issue and look for the article, Changing Faces of America, they have accomplished it, and you will see their new creation. In World War III, and disease designed specifically to wipe out pure races of all, and their race that they've developed will be protected underground. That's the big plan. That's really significant. This is really what's going on. That's why, if you look on a map, if you look at Hitler and his plan of making a pure race, what pure race was that? That was Caucasian, blonde hair, blue eyed. Just like the great white brotherhood of the fallen angels. And what race did they want to wipe out? All the minority races, right? God didn't let him do it, but that's what he wants to do, right? Now, if you look at a map and you see the ley line that the United States continent, well, excuse me, North American continent is on the same ley line, latitude line, as the Middle East, right directly across from Israel. How about that? Yeah, just about. The lower part, right near where the Colorado. Is it not? It darn sure is. Straight line. Tunisia, Morocco. Right through there in the middle part of the United States. Now you take that and you move it. And put it all together. Who resided in the middle part of the earth that time when the from Mount Ararat when the ark landed. Shem stayed in the Middle East. Shem led the bloodline of Jesus. Japhet went north, European direction. Ham went south past Ethiopia. And notice very well how different places the skin gets darker the more southern you go. You see, the elements of the earth in different positions does in fact manipulate the DNA over a long period of time. And being that the cultures were all the same during the time of the Tower of Babel, God changed the languages, people separated and divided, and somewhere in the gap, God moved those plates, pulled apart the land. Look up Genesis 10:11, I believe it is, or 11:10. In the generation of Peleg, God divided the land. 10 generations after the Tower of Babel. The elements of different places on the earth has an effect on the DNA of the animals and plant and so forth. Therefore, not only did the fallen angels destroy the corrupted DNA of mankind, also of animals, but also of the earth. God had to start all over again. He loved mankind so he spared 8 that did not have the Nephilim DNA. They had to start all over again with Nimrod. With gained knowledge of the 1,550 years. But they were waiting the day the technology could be developed, that they could expedite it and accelerate their plans for a new world order. Because Nimrod was the first Antichrist. And there were many after that. But what we're concerned with is the last one. And we are on the precipice of the last one that has not showed yet. The fig tree blooming, 1948. 70-year. Man's age went from 1,000 on the average of years, 900 to 1,000, didn't he? To 120. And to make sure the bodies would not be able to sustain giants or be possessed for a long period of time, he went to 70 years for a lifespan of a human. In Psalms 90, verse 12, 80+10, 70 years, 1,000 to 120 to 70 years is a lifespan of a human. Psalms 90, verse 10. Or 12. Make sure about that. So you go to 90. Yes, 10. 90 verse 10. The days of our years are 80+10. If by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, we fly away. Slam dunk, man. There you go. 70 years is a lifespan of a human, maybe 80. Now watch this. I'm going to throw a little history at you. Look what I found. We're put under legal debt as a country in 1789 for 70 years. Add 70, you get 1859, Civil War. Add 70 for another debt to keep us subjugated under the crown. You got 1929. That wasn't coincidence. Add 70, you get 1999. the year 2000 was supposed to have been the New World Order and their starting of a millennium to deceive, to copy God. They failed. Because 2001, the Twin Towers, that was Masonic sacrifice to bring demons, bring the fallen angels into this world. And it did. The two towers of Boaz and Jachin, that was the purpose of World Trade Center. Because 2001 would have been about a year after the New World Order had taken place to bring in certain demons. That's what that was for. That's what 9-1-1 was all about. 70 years, 1789. 1859, Civil War. 70 years, 1859, 1929, Great Depression. 70 years, 1929 to 1999 was supposed to be World War III and New World Order and the Antichrist. When you add the fig tree blooming, 1948, Seventy years, you get 2018. I don't know. You judge. I think we're real close. Real close to the first seal. And then the 7 years begins. They're trying to usher in their Messiah. Fallen angels. The Antichrist. Man, we're so close, it's not even funny. I ain't laughing. What's this got to do with giants in the Bible? As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. They're going to release those suckers, man. They're going to release those giants out of their holes. Out of their caves, God's going to remove his protective hedge. The ones in the cages down there in the deep underground military bases will be released. And those elite down there, they're not going to make it back to the surface. How's it possible back then that after the flood, can be the giants, for in the ark was only Noah and his family, no other people. The fallen angels are evil spirits, which after the flood impregnated again the daughters of men. The fallen angels are not limited and bound by the borders of the human body. Because they're evil spirits, they can absorb life force and for a short period of time maintain a physical body made of copper DNA. Copper DNA. Copper has a lot to do with opening up portals. Alchemy. But they continued deceiving the men after the flood. You see, because the Bible speaks that after the flood were giants and descendants in the earth, it means that the fallen angels impregnated again the daughters of men. They became giant nations. Old Testament after the flood. And so, to reiterate, before the flood of Noah, during that 1,550 years, the fallen angels then, the daughters of men, had sexual relationships with each other. But this does not mean, like Christian Identity and these other cult groups, serpent seed doctrine, that Satan had sex with Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's what they're trying to pass off. He did deceive her, but wasn't by sex. Cain was not the son of Satan. Then they try to tell you that the descendants of Cain made it through the flood. All kinds of curveballs. But during the time of the 1,550 years, and for that reason that fallen angels had interbred. The evil of sin got to unbelievable proportions, which it will again. According to the Bible, when you read it, God commanded to destroy the nations who were, after the flood, descended from the fallen angels, and the nations which had adopted their habits, alchemy, witchcraft. They burned their children in the fire as offerings to the idols, lived violently, contacted with evil spirits, practiced unnatural sexual activities, homosexuality, bestiality. They destroyed the earth. Continuing on, the Mayans, sacrifice of children. Today, it's called abortion. People are led to believe that abortion is simply an economic, moral, religious, that'd be moral, political agenda type thing, and social issue. Not at all. That's all ossification. It's about child sacrifice, exactly like they did in the days of old, hidden by all these other reasons. That's the purpose of abortion. When a doctor performs an abortion, those that are Freemasons at the highest level, the nurses that are in a Wicca, they know what they've done. I read a report where in one case a nurse had received the aborted baby, quickly went into a room. Door was shut. And one of the nurses went back into the room and found her. Well, you don't really want to know what she is doing, but you can imagine. Consumption of the blood of infants is thought to make longevity. You got the picture? This is not just in movies. This is real. If God would not have allowed to destroy the satanic nations, it'd be in that today, in the world, worse. Someone would burn the children as offerings to idols. You hearing what I'm saying here now? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, you can understand the point to the Bible and God that you would see the injustice and unjust, that the world would be people who would kill their own children, burning them with fire. Well, I'm trying to warn people, my own little world here, that in Oregon, heavy in witchcraft, in Oregon, now, they're trying to set up legislation, and there's many states ready to jump on it, to allow your children to euthanize themselves, and you can't stop it. So they get these Mark of the Beast on them, and they start giving them the voice-to-skull technology, voice-to-skull, and they got a pink Ouija board. The e-cigarettes, how about e-marijuana ads? Medicate them, Ouija board. You got yourself kids committing suicide left and right. They won't have to have euthanasia. They'll do it whenever they want to. Do you see how evil is coming today, sneaking up on us? When they, International Rights of the Child, are making it where you can't stop this. And Freemasons out there, they don't realize what they're doing. They're digging their own grave. This is heavy, what I'm talking about. This is serious. Nobody's covering this. Nobody's talking about this, darn it. Where's Ron Paul? Where's all these so-called patriots? How come they're not going after Oregon? How come it's not making the front page news? Yeah, because they're all in on it. That's why. This is about child sacrifice as they did in the days of old. That's my point. In sophisticated, complex manners or methods. I'm going to go to Robbie's, I think, and it's a military. I guess I'm going to be facetious here. I'm going to go to Robbie's tomorrow, and it's a military store, and buy me a pair of handcuffs. and ankle bracelets and just handcuff my darn hands and just imprison myself. Might as well. I feel like it. Sitting here watching this happen, there can't a darn thing I could do about it except pray about it. Now I got to depend on God to do it. But darn, it's frustrating. And people don't see this at the highest level. Just feel like just handcuff myself. Say, well, there you go. The Freemasons could do something about it if they'd come out of their stoop and renounce it. And the Wicca, they're looking for that day of helter skelter. They don't realize it's going to get turned in on them. When they release the Nephilim, the giants of the Bible, giants today, there's no difference. And man, they're eager to come out of that grave. They're either, excuse me, out of the ground. They're in caverns down there. They're in cages that's been prepared. And man, they are eager to be let go. You see? The day of the Lord is coming. And it's not going to be localized. Get right with God tonight. Get right with God rested from now on. God commanded to destroy the descendants of the fallen angels and the daughters of men and the nations that adopted the satanic sins and signs and witchcraft and alchemy and so forth. And the command was given at a certain time in certain nations, not all nations, during the new covenant is not in this kind of command. A lot of people say they don't understand the command of God to destroy these nations, men, women, and children. But they don't understand this DNA issue. If God had not destroyed these nations, the world would be, that's now in the world, should be nations, should do a lot of evil things even now. Burn their own children to idols. If God had not destroyed these nations, the same people who accused God for destruction of the nations, those people would accuse God today. That's why he didn't destroy the awful nations which burned their own children in the fire. They would have said that, how does God allow such evil activity and doesn't do anything about it? However, God did properly when he destroyed these nations, regardless of whether some people accuse him on it for that. Now you know why. You go to Deuteronomy, Old Testament, Deuteronomy 9. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. Big people. Big cities. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth before thee on a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. It goes on to talk about in Deuteronomy 9, and all through the Bible, the Old Testament, about the giants. Man, they don't have to read Harry Potter, which is fictional, but it actually is real witchcraft being taught. All they got to do is read the Bible for true giants, true supernatural, true tells of what's going to happen here in the future. Nothing new under the sun. It's going to happen again. The Bible is not a history book. The Bible is a book of tomorrow. He's talking about giants. Ish-bibnabob. Can you imagine Ish-bibnabob going to Paris Island, South Carolina? Boy, a drill instructor would have a time with that name, wouldn't he? He descended of the giant, 2 Samuel 21. And the Philistines had war again with Israel. And David went down, his servants with him, fought against the Philistines, and Dave waxed faint. And Ish-bib-nabob, who was the sons of the giant Rapha, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with new armor, thought to have slain David. But Ashbihai, the son of Zerai, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore upon them, saying, Thou shalt go no more out of with us to battle, but thou quench with not the lamp of Israel. Man, it's all through the Bible. Descendants of the giant was a Philistine, Ish-bib-nabob. Well, they had funny names, didn't they? This is amazing stuff. People would read it. All through the Old Testament, it's descendants of giants throughout. That's what they had to confirm with. 2 Samuel 21, verse 20. Gath. A champion. Six fingers. Every foot, six toes. 4 and 20 number. Well, golly, Pete, they could count more than Cletus could, couldn't he? Because he's only got 10 fingers and 10. Okay, anyway. The Philistines, giants of Gath. Goliath was a giant, was a Nephilim. Giant nations it talks about. We're coming to the end of the program tonight, the Bible study. I'll continue on tomorrow about this. Because I find it actually fascinating that because this is what we're going to be confronted with. And in the name of Jesus Christ, God forbid, you would have to run across one of these. Because it would be you standing before this giant, this Nephilim, in today's world, if it ever happens before the rapture. Or someone left, I don't know how that's going to work. But you having the courage to stand before him in the name of Jesus Christ, command him to leave. It's called spiritual warfare on steroids, I'd say. And this is a more than likely event. The wild card would be what? The rapture. But you don't know when the rapture is. Nobody knows. This is why they're trying to hide all this now, so people won't know how to deal with it, that they'll have the great deception. Do your homework, y'all. The Raphim, Anakim, Zuzim, Seraphim, Nephilim. Then they had names all through the Bible. That's what they had to contend with. Even the American Plain, he had to call what's called the Skinwalkers, another supernatural being that he had Chile's giants, Brazilian giants, Cococopa. Magellan talks about it. Man, there's giants all over the darn place. Especially the United States. Especially in the United States where they've been hiding these skeletons, these mounds throughout the United States. The laboratory of the fallen angels in Atlantis. Guess where Atlantis? Where it sounds like it was. Right underneath your feet. And nobody's talking about it. If they try to take it over again, God's going to let that Yellowstone go kaput, Wyoming go bye-bye, and God will put it in water, and the power will shift in the Middle East. Because God's not going to let them do it again and get a hold of this rich land and elements in the United States. Nope. Ain't going to let them do it again. They had to watch their children die in the flood. That really ticked them off, so they're going after God's children. You see the fight that we're in right now? And they're coming down, this time as aliens or ascended masters or whatever. Even got names, Ashtar commands like Battlestar Galactica on steroids. The average American out there don't have a clue. They hadn't studied this. And the preachers aren't talking about it. Only a small smidgen number of them are doing it. And the ones that are talking about it with YouTubes and all that, they're misleading people. Exposing it, but tell them, just teaching about it, not exactly what it is. And not how to fight it. How to deal with them. About Jesus. About the King James Bible. Skiba, Springmeyer, the whole lot of them. Good information. But when you talk about the King James Bible, they go against it. Whoa! Because that's the trick all along. I believe in exposing even myself if I have to. Whatever it takes to get the truth out. It don't matter. The truth is important. Denial is not. The truth is. Let's close. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you tonight for us being able to come together. And Lord, we pray for more Bible studies. We pray, Lord, you'll hear our prayers. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. Lift us up. Show us the way. And give us opportunities. Give us wisdom, discernment to pass on the truth. And Lord, to share among each other. And comfort each other in the times of troubles, at times of confusion. That, Lord, there's a lot coming. We ask you, Lord, to bless us, to guide us, and to bless those in control and power, that, Father, they'll see the light. And to raise your watchmen, Lord, that they can sound the alarm and tell the truth. This we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yep, this is practice for the day coming. Well, people get ready, because that day is coming. When? Don't know. I wouldn't worry about it, none. I'd just be prepared. That's it. But getting ready is the time. Those that's not ready are going to freak out, as they say. Those that are ready will say, aha. Here we go. So we'll see y'all tomorrow. Oh, remind you, highportradio.net, John Kirkler. Let me know how he's doing. And give him a call, give him a contact to find out how he's doing. And let me know how many times we're played on his broadcast. John Kirkler, highportradio.net, up in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Visit my website, watchforjesus.com. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 o'clock. This is The Watchman, signing off.